It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings is football. 12-11 out at the Garden. Knicks ahead of the Pacers.
Did you say 12-11? Oh, I'm sorry. That was a score, not a time. We're never mind.
That's fair. I often will.
He normally gets the minutes right, though.
I'm usually within our actual show
the
frame,
hours.
That's true. That's why I was very confused. I'm like, man, we went all the way back to lunch?
12-11 is the time.
Yeah, no, 12-11 is not the time. 5-01 is actually the time.
5-01.
Just kind of giving you a little bit of NFL news here. We've gone over the fact that Jaden Daniels is feeling better, has a chance to play. We talked about Tua clearing protocols. Bosa plans to play in a limited.
Which one?
Joey.
Okay. Charges. Joey Bosa, he's kind of the wacko one, right? The guy that lost his mind during the playoff game against Jacksonville.
Oh, yes.
He's wacko from that. Yeah, he's definitely. He's the quieter one, but rages a little bit more.
Okay. Yeah, Nick is
the
better athlete.
The talker, but certainly seems to be more controlled.
Correct. Yeah, that's a pretty good assessment.
That's my take on the brothers, by the
way.
Now,
the big thing with Joey Bosa, is he playing or not?
He's going
to
play
Chargers Bosa to play in limited role versus Saints. Chris Olave's also supposed to be back for the Saints, for you local Chris Olave fans. I would like to see Chris Olave, you know, come back to being Chris Olave. He's struggled the last
you need
this
him
year.
To have a Puka return.
Yeah.
You know, like where he comes back
comes
and hits
back
the ground
and just
running.
They start throwing him the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted Kevin O'Connell so bad to prevail over Sean McVay. Mm-hmm. But I did forget when I was looking at that game last night that Sean McVay begat Kevin O'Connell, right? Kevin O'Connell was his offensive coordinator in the Super Bowl year.
Yep.
So it was a little bit of the teacher versus the pupil, and the teacher usually kind of wins these things. I don't know. Sean McVay just seemed like he had a little edge on Kevin O'Connell, especially after the first two drives of the game. The Vikings scored touchdowns their first two times they had the ball and never got close again, really.
There was a close-up of Kevin when something bad happened in the game. I can't remember what point it was, but you could clearly read his lips saying, bleep me.
Bleep me?
Yes. Clearly read his lips saying that, like in defeat.
Yeah. I think Sean McVay did a little better job last night. The Rams seemed to make the adjustments. Slowed the Vikings down, and the Vikings didn't really figure it out. You know, I mean, Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp back in there. Rams looked formidable, much more formidable. And that, you know, your division is a mess, by the way.
It's
you've
not
got
good.
The Seahawks are 4-3. The Cardinals, Rams, and you guys are 3-4. It's a mess.
The Rams?
You're actually tied for last place. I kind of like that. Where the 49ers belong.
Do you? Okay, so.
Tied for the cellar. Even the Dolphins aren't in the cellar.
Oh, Sean McVay after the game was like, we're not trading Cooper Kupp.
They shouldn't.
It's really easy to say after a game that looked like that. Like,
but why
really
would you
easy.
Trade him? I don't get it.
But that
why
was
would
the news.
It hasn't made sense ever since it came out that they
people
trade
just
him.
Might be making this up, assuming that they owe him some money and that they need to move him. And they're out of it. They probably also assume when the Rams were 1-4 that they were out of it.
Yeah.
I bet you
now they're 3-4 they're very much in it.
They're probably also looking at the rest of the landscape. Every other wide receiver seem to be getting moved right now,
and all you get is a third round. Pick,
yeah.
Or if that,
if that.
So. Cooper Kupp is good. I've never been a fan of teams trading good players to rebuild. I always think you should, you know, rebuild around good players
in football.
That's what makes sense to me.
Yeah,
but it's not the way everybody does it. So
we are.
What you going to do?
We really don't have a whole lot here, fellas.
The World Series is about to get underway.
I have a thing on the chat.
Let's go.
Karma Ed Hardy. Take it for what it's worth. That's their name on the
Karma
chat.
Okay. Yeah.
Joey Bosa is better
than Nick Bosa.
Yes.
I don't know about that.
Now, Joey Bosa.
Did Nick Bosa win player
often.
Of the year?
All the time.
Joey's hurt quite often.
In 2024, he's played 3 games. In 2023, he played 9 games. In 2022, he played 5 games. In 2021, he played 16.
Okay.
So he's only had 2 full seasons in 7.
And that's coming from a defensive end, right? Like, you know, I think it feels like his brother's been out there a lot more.
We've also seen a lot of the, and I'm not bragging, we've also seen a lot of the 49ers, which means that...
Well, they're on a better team.
Nick Bosa is shown more.
Mm. I mean, pull up
I
Nick,
don't know about that.
Nick,
I mean, in
pull
San
up Nick Bosa's game.
In San Diego, there's only one... I'm sorry, I beg your pardon. There's only 2 teams, maybe a third, but there's only 2 teams that they really show on television on Sundays. Like, if you don't have Red Zone and you just watch games, they show every Charger game, they show every Ram game, and they show most Raider games. Pretty much it in San Diego.
So you've seen a lot of both of them.
I'm assuming that they, you know, that the local channel, CBS channel, the local Fox channel, have done enough research to realize that those teams probably get the best ratings here. But it's very difficult to see an East Coast game here, even if there's better teams. I mean, the Chargers-Saint game is on here locally on Sunday. And... I think the other one's the Raiders and the Chiefs. And that seems like a good draw, of course, because it's the Chiefs. But, you know, if it's Raiders, Rams, or Chargers, those games are on Sunday pretty much exclusively here. It means very little to me because I don't watch those games. I watch the Red Zone only. But
He won Defensive Rookie of the Year, Nick Bosa, in 2019. He's played the only season he has missed a significant amount of time because he's at least appeared in every game except for 2020. Tore his ACL in the second game.
I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable
tearing
too.
Tearing an ACL.
But other
he's
than
been
that.
He's been in there. So I'm going to say Nick is better.
I think he was Defensive Player of the Year in 2022.
He's Player of the Year. Joey hasn't been that.
No.
I mean.
Who's older, Joey?
Joey's older.
Remember when Joey held out from the Chargers and he didn't start until like week 6 or 7?
I don't.
Okay.
I remember losing his marbles in the Jacksonville game.
I vaguely remember him.
He didn't start until like week 7 against the Raiders, I remember, because he couldn't come to a deal with the Spanoses. All right, I think that's enough Spanos talk today. I got to say.
You know that you can, if you're not into this World Series, if you're on your way home and you want to watch a sporting event, but you can't stand the matchup in the World Series, this just popped up on my phone. For free. On Apple TV tonight, you can watch the Miami-Atlanta MLS Cup playoff game featuring Messi.
Okay.
There you go. Giving you an alternative out there.
What? That's the Apple app?
The Apple TV app, I guess it is. It's for free, it says.
All right.
I'm just giving people something, you know, other to do. I think there's some NBA games on tonight, too, is there not? Usually is on a Friday
there
night.
There is some NBA games. We got Orlando, Brooklyn.
But, I mean, I'm talking like on ESPN is
ESPN,
showing
we
Knicks,
got Knicks,
Pacers.
Pacers.
And
that's
then
the
later,
first game.
Suns, Lakers. What do you do there, Tony? World Series, Suns, Lakers.
Ooh.
See, to me, this is where you go to the DVR. You DVR the Laker game as soon as the World Series is over, and you start watching the Laker game.
Tony,
seems
Tony's
easy.
Tony's not DVRing
you wouldn't
the
do
Laker
that?
Game.
First of all. I do DVR all Lakers.
Ha!
Games.
Well, I know you do that miss it, but if you're going to choose between two, right, you're watching Lakers live.
The beautiful thing about
it
being taped.
You go back and forth?
The beautiful thing about it being taped is that I can go back and forth.
You go back and forth.
And I could stop the Laker game and just go back to the live feed of the Dodgers.
And Yankees.
But you go back and forth. You watch both at once.
No, I mean,
do you have the? Do you use the? Do you use the button?
I do.
Okay, so you don't have to search through it. Just one. It's a one push move.
One push move.
Yeah. Okay, I got
it. Gets me right back where I need to be.
I like that.
You know, my dad was complaining about something that Chris has said many times, and I've also said, but he was like, "Man, I hate Thursday Night Football on Prime. I cannot go back to different channels.
Right, you can't go back.
They got to fix that on Prime.
I'm like, Dad,
they got to fix that.
You're exiting the app." Which then takes another like 45 seconds to a minute to open
the app
again.
Apple TV needs to make a button that allows you to go back and forth between apps.
I don't know if they can. I'm sure they can.
I'm sure they can.
They're capable of doing it. They just haven't given it to us yet.
Yeah.
They don't want us to. They want us to watch their stupid commercials.
They're holding on for the new Apple TV when it comes out. They're going to put it on that one.
They're going to have to make a change. Is what you're saying, and I agree. Yeah, I can't watch the Thursday night Apple game.
That's why
they
want it.
Because once you're there, you're locked in.
Exactly.
You can't go anywhere else for 3 hours.
It's a never-ending.
That's too much.
Exactly.
It's a never-ending problem.
By the time Kirk Herbstreit is done explaining the flanker screen, I've had enough. It's really funny to me because when I see Kirk Herbstreit on Saturday in a college game, I think he's a genius. But on the pro, he just doesn't. He's not good enough. I don't know.
I don't mind Kirk Herbstreit on the Prime Video. I do, and I think Tony said he and Trey would watch this one day. But they have the Prime Vision where you get to see all the next gen stats.
I keep forgetting to do that.
It's really good.
I've actually been more dialed into actually getting Thursday Night Football up because Trey wants to watch it most of the time. I need to get to that.
All you got to do is when you click on the thing, you click down, and there's three separate
feeds.
So
it says watch live.
Yeah, it says watch live. So you click the watch live, you go to the regular stream, then you click down, and you're going to have one that says like next gen stats and then the Spanish broadcast.
Is next gen stats like analytics?
Yes.
So why would I want to intentionally subject myself to that?
But what it is like it follows the receivers and running backs on the field. So it paints a line on behind them wherever they run, so you can look at all the routes. They also have a different camera view.
Do you think that's what Troy Aikman was watching when he said that the routes that the Dallas Cowboys run were trash?
He did say that. And Jerry Jones agreed with him. What else is he supposed to do?
Troy Aikman doesn't have a lot of nice things to say about the Cowboys, but then again, they don't deserve anything nice to be said about them
that
these days.
He's playing it straight down the middle. This is a guy who played his whole career in Dallas and is not afraid to criticize him when he sees it.
Well, he doesn't owe Jerry Jones anything.
I mean, but you see a lot of guys afraid to kind of criticize their own team.
I would think he's got a pretty good fan base in Dallas, Texas. Troy Aikman.
He does.
But if he's ripping the Cowboys, some of that might erode.
Quite frankly, he's had a lot of practice since he left. They haven't been, that good.
Boo!
He's the last great quarterback.
He is. So I'm sure that gives him a little bit extra gravitas.
When he walks in, he can puff out his chest.
I'm booing the screen.
Oh, why?
Because Soto is up. All right, let's get to break. More Gwynn and Chris on the other side. Here's some traffic.
All right, we got the first half inning of the first game in the books. Yankees got Juan Soto on base. Anybody want to take a guess how?
They were scared of him.
He walked on four pitches.
Didn't even throw him a strike.
All right. Two outs, Giancarlo Stanton reached on an error by shortstop Tommy Edman. But with two on, Jazz Chisholm grounded out. So the Yankees are done in the top of the first, Dodgers. And your guy, Shohei Ohtani, batting in a few minutes, Scraby, if you can hold
the
out.
The real Carlos Torres started to show up.
Yeah,
at the
Tony's
end of that
screaming
part
bloody murder on the home plate umpire.
I told you guys yesterday he wasn't very good.
You did.
He's proving you right.
Proving
in the top
right
of the first inning. He
How does that happen?
Missed a few pitches.
How does a guy who's not very good get there?
There was actually somebody. I think I might saw it on Twitter. There was actually a breakdown of where. Or Chris, I think, might have brought it up on Twitter yesterday. Where the breakdown of where these guys finished behind the plate.
Oh yes.
Oh, the
umpire,
percentages.
Yeah.
He was a 91.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news. You call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Okay, so percentages. The one I saw had where that ranked amongst the rest of the umpires.
Okay.
The highest was, I believe, Todd Tishner. He was 22nd. There were some 40s. My man Fletcher, who's on this thing, I think he was in the 70s.
So they don't have the best six umpires in baseball.
In terms of how they rate it behind the plate. Now, there's they got other bases.
I'm not defending Torres at all. But we don't allow the umpires to have some top-of-the-first-inning nerves. It's a World Series, Game 1. Maybe he's a little jittery back there. Possible.
I don't think the umpire can afford to be jittery.
Here's the deal.
He's a human being.
He started off with a perfect at-bat. I saw with Soto. I mean, one pitch was extremely close. He called it ball, which was fine. You know. But then you start looking at these next couple breaking balls that there's a lot of space in between the translucent strike zone and where the ball actually dots up.
Understand that Tony was a hitter. Chris was a pitcher.
Yeah.
Chris Tony was at a much higher level. But let's just say
Chris is also an official, too. Make sure
Chris thinks every pitch is a strike. Tony thinks every pitch is a ball.
We now go to our resident referee, Chris Sello.
I got nothing for you, Scraby. Thank you
what?
For going to me.
Come on.
I just gave you what I gave you.
Come
I think
on.
The umpire's a little jittery.
He might
I think
be.
That's why I missed him.
That is in mid-season form.
Well, that you know, is, let's
that
leave,
was the first
Angel,
top of
Angel
the first
retire.
Inning.
Let him be.
You know,
man.
I mean, when you're reffing a big game. Reffing a big game in a packed gym on a Friday night. You kind of want that first call to be an out-of-bounds call because that's the easiest one. You certainly don't want to block charge on the first play of the game. You're not ready. You're not really into it yet.
You think you're usually ready to let those ones be a non-call, the block or charge?
First block charge, you better not be a non-call. Some kid bangs his head on the back of the court or something. You better have a call. There's a train wreck. You better have a call.
Uh-oh.
Even if it's the first call.
Hold on. I need to put up the sign on our screen right now.
He's now batting. Did he get his arms extended enough?
Oh, nope.
Not quite. Hit
that
it 388 feet to center field.
Garrett Cole had the look of, oh, no, that's gone.
Shohei comes up short.
That is the biggest center fielder in the history of center fielders. Right.
Right. Center fielders are normally a little quicker.
What did Jerry Harrison say earlier? He's bigger than LeBron?
Yeah. After he said it, I was like, man, he's 6'8", 250, 260. I can see that.
Tony, I'm going to give you some names here of great baseball players, and you're going to tell me what they have in common. Frank Thomas, Chicago White Sox, Hall of Famer. Rod Carew, one of the greatest hitters of all time, probably somebody your dad even looked up to. Ryne Sandberg. Ernie Banks, all-timer. Ron Santo. Sammy Sosa, Ken Griffey, Andre Dawson. Gaylord Perry, Phil Niekro, Roy Halladay. Those are all big time
great
players.
What do they have in common?
They all have one thing in common.
There's a bunch of them that played in Chicago.
Some of them, and that kind of leads you to the answer if you keep going.
Oh.
Keep Scraby, you can take a shot at it, but I wouldn't expect you to have it.
It's nice to see the Dodgers having warning track power today.
Two warning track shots so far
for
the Dodgers.
I don't know what you got. Give it to me.
None of those great players have ever played in the World Series.
Huh?
Just one of those things. It's kind of, you know, not guaranteed you.
No.
And those are some pretty good players.
Let me ask you this, Tony.
What do you want to ask me, Scraby?
Do you, like, I know you're not, like, hurt over the fact you never played in the World Series, but does it, like, when you think about it,
I forgot
it
to mention you, Tony Gwynn Jr. Hang on. I put you in here in my lineup here under Ken Griffey Jr.
Fair enough.
Center field.
Does it ever, I guess this is going to be the wrong term, bum you out?
Yeah, it does. I mean, a lot more when I had, like, was fresh out of in retirement.
Wouldn't that just be the
it's just like
to play
why
in the World
who wouldn't want
to
like compete at that level? Like,
of course.
I mean, I certainly would have loved it.
What and there's so many many guys that have starred in the World Series that you like are not names, but guys that weren't Hall of Fame type players. David Freese, right,
big time,
he was this incredible World Series he had comes to mind, and you know so many others. I mean, you look, I don't have all the.
It's crazy. What did my dad say? You know what he did say was that, you know, when he got there in '84 and he was young and he thought he would go back a bunch of times and.
He probably didn't appreciate it as much as 98.
So he made sure he, I mean, even though it was even quicker of an exit in 98 than it was in 84.
Took it all in?
I think he took it all in.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't. That's so hard not to, like, get caught up in the moment.
Freddie with a triple!
His ankle looks like it's feeling better.
Wow!
Well, they had him play.
Verdugo kind of boxed it into
it. Took him forever to get over to that ball. He's batting left-handed, as you know, and they had him play to pull, and he hit it down the left field line, and there was nobody there. Yep. So the Dodgers have a scoring threat in the bottom of the first inning.
Cool. How about
great
that storyline?
Great piece of hitting right there. And him, here comes the boot job. Oop.
Oh, Verdugo. Yeah. I'll give you a guy that was a nobody that had a great World Series. 1998.
Scott Brosius.
Scott Brosius. Come on. Hit two home runs in Game 3. One of them off Trevor. I don't even want to say it in case Trevor's listening.
He had the biggest hits in that series outside of
unbelievable,
Tito Martinez.
Man. I mean, Scott Brosius.
I don't know Scott at all. I hated him for like at least 5 years.
Yeah, he just had a crazy streak.
I mean, he hit like, I think, 230 that year.
Oh, if that.
And then proceeded to be the dude.
That is
in
really
the World
annoying.
Series.
Yeah. When we mentioned, I know we've mentioned Steve Pierce before. He played for the Red Sox the year they beat the Dodgers in 2018. Steve Pierce wasn't even a starting player in the major leagues for any part of his career.
Started in Pittsburgh.
But he's
I mean, his career started in Pittsburgh.
Right. But I don't think he was ever really a starter. I think he was always came off the bench, but the Red Sox put him in and they couldn't get him out. Who was the MVP in 2020? Scrape, World Series MVP. You should know this one.
Corey Seager.
Same as last year.
That's true.
Corey Seager's won it twice. World
Two-time
Series MVP.
World Series MVP.
Yeah.
And he got the MVP in the same stadium, too, if I'm not mistaken.
He did.
He wasn't playing for the Rangers at the time, but they played in Texas because, if you remember, COVID wouldn't allow us to mingle very much. Although I think they had like – they opened up like 50% capacity.
It was Texas, so they had. I mean, I'm just saying they had different rules in California for sure.
Yeah,
so they were
sure.
able to go and see the game, and then the Super Bowl was 50%, but it was all like medical professionals.
Oh,
that
was the Tampa Bay Kansas City Super Bowl.
Don't take me back to that.
Yeah, let's never go back.
How about this storyline? I was reading earlier, Alex Verdugo, who just boxed one in left field, he used to play for the Dodgers, and he said when he got traded, he understood it was a business, but he said it really
hurt
and he really wants to pay, you know, get retrubution on the
Clearly
Dodgers.
Clearly too much.
Hey, it hurt too much because he just kicked one in left field, so...
No score going to the top of the second there. We got 33 minutes. And you got a Scraby Chronicles after this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got Sean Lewis coming up.
Oh, that's right. Sean Lewis, the Aztec football coach. God, we've been talking about all this other stuff. I almost forgot he was coming on. Well, stay tuned. He's coming next to talk a little bit about tomorrow's big game against Washington State. Stick around.
Last segment of the week, last happy hour segment of the week, 5:34 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, Matthew Scraby. Still 0-0. Top of the second, runner on first for the Yankees. We will have head coach Sean Lewis on shortly to talk a little bit about this Washington State matchup. San Diego State at Snapdragon, 7:30 kickoff. Those who can't make it down to Snapdragon, CBS Network will have the game.
Tickets available at GoAztecs.com. Yeah, I'm employed by the Aztecs sometimes. Go buy some tickets to the game. Should be a good game.
I hope so.
See why not.
I don't see why not either.
Sean Lewis's team looking a lot better. Nice back-to-back, come-from-behind victories. Last two games. But they're up against it tomorrow. Washington State's favored by two TDs.
I was looking for ways to tell Scraby he was wrong, but he's actually right. So, with that being said, this hour of 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings is football.
Has this been the day of you guys trying to prove me wrong or what?
What were you right about, Scraby?
Well, he was right because he said we had one more of those reads. And typically, they've been in the docket.
Yeah.
So I went back to search to see if he was not. He was only counting the 5, or he wasn't counting the 5 o'clock one. He was. So yep. Scraby was on his job today.
Thank you. Sean Lewis is a guy who calls on time, so he was supposed to. He's supposed to call at 5:40.
Oh, we got a few minutes.
Yeah, yes, we got a few
CBS
minutes.
Sports Network. I didn't get to finish that thought. That's where you can find the Aztec game.
Tony and I are in a bit of a downer right now, a little bit. Well, and I just looked him up, Tony. The actor's name is John Ashton, and we brought him up. Tony and I love to talk about him because Tony loves the phrase "the banana in the tailpipe" from the movie Beverly Hills Cop.
Yes.
And the actor who played the policeman that fell for the banana in the tailpipe was a guy named John Ashton. He played that character in Beverly Hills Cop. He's also in a lot of other movies. And I got to meet the guy at the what was the old celebrity golf tournament? The Drew Brees tournament?
Oh, yeah.
He came and played in that every year for some reason. And he was the nicest guy. And he'd come over and he'd do an interview. And
I remember. He was Sergeant. What was his name?
Oh, Taggart.
Taggart.
Either he was Taggart or the other guy was
no,
Taggart.
No, that was Taggart.
He was Taggart.
He was Taggart.
Yeah. So John Ashton. So I interviewed him a few times, and I always gave him a hard time about the banana in the tailpipe.
He was just in the remake for Beverly Hills
Cop. You know that he'd heard about the banana in the tailpipe his whole life, even though, and he still was good natured about it. And so Tony and I were just looking him up online to see what he's up to, and we just found out he passed a month ago,
yeah,
and hadn't heard that. And guess what, Tony? And this is interesting. His last, thing in life. He was hosting a show called the Ashton and Davis Show, a sports talk radio show in Colorado.
Was he really?
Yeah. How about that? So he finished as a sports talk guy, but I just kind of hit me. I wasn't expecting to see that he had passed, and it was just recently. Hadn't heard about it. But he's a really good actor in that Beverly Hills Cop movie, and Midnight Run was another one that he did a great job in. Anyway, so I'm kind of sad about that.
Yeah. The Knicks up 10 now at home against the Pacers, 53-43. Dodgers get through their inning. We will move to the bottom of the second. Yeah, you can see I'm giving you a scoreboard rundown because there's not a lot. You got anything, Scraby?
Yeah, on the Scraby Show tonight, I'm going to go through another position, third base. I think we know the future of that position for the Padres.
Oh, you're going through Padre position by
yes,
position.
Yes, I did catcher on Wednesday. Tonight is third base. I kind of gave you guys a little bit of the background of my research. I did a lot of research on this.
You went from catcher to third base.
It's basically
99% of the people would go from catcher to first base, you know, to second, to short, to third. You're going backwards the infield.
He's going the reverse way.
You want to know the real truth behind
you're
why
going
I'm doing
clockwise
this?
Rather than counterclockwise?
Because I was trying to do the starting rotation, and I was trying to do other positions. I was like, oh, man, it's just Friday. I got to do third base. Third base is easy.
Why did you settle for third base on Friday?
Because I knew where I was going to go with third base. Because
you didn't know where you were going to go at first.
Yeah, first is definitely up in the air. Second's a little bit easier. Short's up in the air.
My man went from catcher to third base.
I don't think that's that big of a deal. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
There was a ball player, Jimmy Pearsall was his name.
Ricky Pearsall's dad?
No, not his dad. He hit a home run once and ran around the bases backwards.
Oh, ran around the base was like
ran to third. And the
whole
thing.
Why would he do that?
he was kind of wacko. Clearly. And there was ended up being a movie about him that came out many years later called Fear Strikes Out. And it was about a ball player who navigated some mental issues play in Major League Baseball. And one of the things he did was ran around the bases backwards after a home run.
Did they give him the run?
I don't know. No. That's a good question.
I think he's automatically out.
I don't know what the outcome to that was.
All right, let's hop to our phone. And none other than head coach Sean Lewis joins us. Coach Lewis, how are you? Thanks for joining us here on this Friday.
Yeah, guys, doing great. How are y'all?
We are well. Big matchup this weekend or tomorrow against Washington State. You guys are coming off of two straight victories, looking for a third straight. I think where I want to start, Coach, is from your standpoint, where are the areas that you've seen this club improve at over the course of the season so far?
Yeah, I think the guys have done a great job, obviously having a much better understanding of each other and obviously our scheme as we've moved through the year, and really just the resiliency and the fight and the connection that those guys have in the locker room that's been established through the first half of the season has been really great to see, and obviously finding ways to win the last couple of weeks and really tight ball games. That's what good teams do, and to be on the right side of that and to walk away with two good conference wins and to get our first conference road win last week was great, and looking to build off that momentum, obviously, tomorrow night against a really good Washington State team.
Coach, I loved the Wyoming game. I enjoyed every bit of it, especially, you know, the finish. And what I loved about the finish, a couple things. I mean, you guys had to come from behind, down seven. You made some big plays, you know, in the fourth quarter. But beyond that, Wyoming got the ball back a couple of times, and you just shut them down. And so to me, this was an example of, you know, improving, but also understanding how to finish. And I hope that I'm assuming you're going to use this message moving forward with your guys.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, not too long ago, we were up in Mount Pleasant and came up short in a really close game, right, where we had the opportunity to win it in all three phases in a lot of different ways. And that was a really hard lesson to learn that, you know, the offense didn't convert a touchdown. We didn't kick a field goal. And then we allowed them to go, you know, and get in field goal range and kick a field goal to win it, right? So that was a very painful, hard lesson to learn. But through that adversity, you know, real opportunity came from that to learn and to grow. And it's a testament to the staff and the kids, how they really leaned into, you know, what could be perceived as a really rough moment and grew from that. So then Hawaii, we find a way to win and finish. And then being on the road, again, to your point, really all three phases, offense comes back, scores points because the defense put us in an advantageous position. Then the offense does a good job after, you know, another defensive stop of bleeding the clock. Special teams comes out, pins them deep. And then when, you know, our front can go hunt and you let Trey White go do his thing and get after the quarterback, you know, that's been a pretty consistent end result, you know, throughout the course of the year, which was really good to see.
Coach Sean Lewis joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And Coach, we had the pleasure of having one of your leaders on Wednesday in Marquez Cooper. And what an impressive young man. I mean, you've had him before him coming here to San Diego State. Just talk about his presence and what it's meant to this offense this season.
Yeah, I mean, Coop's a great guy to have in the locker room and have been very fortunate to be coaching him since 2020, besides, you know, last season when we were apart. But when the opportunity presented itself to bring him here to the Mesa and to bring his leadership traits and his knowledge of the culture that we are creating, and then obviously his dynamic skill set as a player, it was a no-brainer. And I'm really happy that he saw it that way, and his impact and influence has been felt throughout the locker room and on the team. He's a relentless competitor and a great young man that, you know, is representing our university and our community the right way.
Coach Sean Lewis, Aztecs, Washington State tomorrow night. And again, goaztecs.com. Get some tickets. Go on out. It should be a good ball game. Coach, you've selected, when it was all over, Danny O'Neill, a true freshman, to be your starting quarterback. You know, without having seen everybody else, I got to tell you, you made a hell of a choice. This guy has shown us so much in six games. Thing he's shown me as a, you know, non-trained eye, but it's just somebody that goes out there and it has a level head about himself. Yeah. Good, bad, indifferent. He just goes to work. And, you know, he throws you a touchdown. He had a bad break. Finally, his first interception last game, and it was a tip ball, but you could never tell. And that to me is speaking volumes as a young guy.
Yeah, he's mature beyond his years. And, you know, obviously we felt that and saw that day in and day out with him being here as a mid-year enrollee and had a good idea of that through the process of recruiting him. But you never know until, you know, you throw them in the fire and they get tested no matter the competitive arena. But to your point, I think you're spot on, right? You know, he doesn't get too high. He doesn't get too low and really embraces the mindset and the model that we have that regardless of the outcomes and the results, it quite honestly doesn't matter. We just got to continue to get better, right? So you saw that all the way through. And even, you know, when he was named the starter coming out of training camp, like he'd be the first one to tell you there's so much room for growth and improvement. And it doesn't matter that I'm a starter. I got to get better. And, you know, obviously at the start of the season, he got to experience the speed and the pace and, you know, all the eyeballs that are on him that come with being a starter at such a great university and a proud program. And he embraced all of that and continued to grow. And yeah, he's done a great job settling in, you know, obviously building connection in the throw game with the guys that are around him and leading and driving our offense.
Yeah, one of those guys is also a freshman in Jordan Napier, and those two connected twice in that game in Wyoming. I mean, how important is it for a young quarterback like Danny to be able to find a connection that he's comfortable, confident, and feels like whenever he lets it go, it's going to end up in the right hands? It had to be nice to see that at the end of that ball game against Wyoming.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that relationship between quarterback and receiver is imperative, right? It's probably like any good, you know, pitcher-catcher relationship with all the work that you're going to do together, right? You have to have that familiarity. And again, you know, it's the one thing that early on as we were sorting through camp, you know, who was going to be the starter and all that competition was going on. It wasn't like Danny or any of the other guys were just working consistently with one another because we were constantly rotating through the competition. And now that obviously it's been Danny's and he's been at the controls of all of it since, you know, the end of training camp and into the season, you could really see the growth within the throw game and the continuity, not only with Jordan, but the group as a whole, because of the reps and the time on task that they have spent together and the way that they're willing to work and grow together as a unit.
San Diego State football, Tony and I said that, you know, this early in the week on the show, I mean, as you know, Aztecs for life, and watching this program, you know, come together under yourself, Coach, and, you know, everybody, just to see improvement week in and week out, you know, that's what I think we feel good about. I'm sure you're looking at that and other things. But talk about, you know, this game tomorrow a little bit. Washington State, I mean, this is a 6-1 team. Are you to the point where you're spending a lot of, you know, more time on what they do and trying to worry about that? Or are you still kind of at more of a stage where we just got to do what we do well and, you know, go from there?
Well, first, thank you for the kind words about the growth and development of the team. And I hope that we continue to take those strides so that when we talk at the end of the year, you know, we're talking about how we're playing our best ball. And I think that's a sign of a good team. And our guys have really embraced, again, that mindset and that mantra to constantly be improving and competing and stacking days. So that's gotten us to this point. As far as the, you know, quality opponent that's coming in tomorrow, you know, we give them the respect, obviously, that they have earned. But our process will constantly be about what we do and who we are and how that matches against, you know, the opponent that's coming in that happens to be the Cougars from Washington State tomorrow, right? But we want to make sure that our kids feel empowered that, you know, the outcome of the game and how we're going to win is driven by what we do. And so we spend a lot of time, obviously, about the people that are in our building, investing in them, and that they understand how the schemes and all three phases and the calls that are going to, you know, be decided upon during the course of the game, right, how that impacts our opponent. But it's about what we do and our plan to win more so than any gray, faceless opponent that we happen to be going against.
Head Coach Sean Lewis joins us here on Gwen and Chris, head coach of the San Diego State Aztecs. And Coach Lewis, we've talked a lot about the offense, but the strong suit of this ball club seems to be on the other side of the football. Just how good or how impressed have you been with the defense's performance really all season long?
Yeah, I mean, they've been really, really consistent, been operating at a high level. And again, that's kind of hallmark of the program. And I know a lot was made, obviously, about, you know, like we're talking about here, the offensive side of things and obviously my background. But in the process, in the transition, you know, we weren't going to lose in terms of the quality of defense that has been played around here, right? You need a complete football team. And as we continue to develop in all areas, the defense has been the strength and an unbelievable job of generating turnovers and generating points. And anytime that you're getting that consistently with also the amount of havoc plays with takeaways and turnovers and sacks and obviously TFLs, all those factors tied into it, you know, you're going to have a chance to have success week in and week out.
And we can't let you go without you talking a little bit about Trey White, because he's leading the nation in sacks, and that's a hell of a nice weapon to have. Well, how did he develop into this? Because, you know, I mean, give us a little where he came from to get to here, and give your coaches a little credit for probably putting him in the right scheme to get a lot of sacks, too.
No, absolutely, right? I mean, our defensive staff, you know, Coach Schmidt, Coach Ulrich, did an unbelievable job of identifying early as we were working through our winter conditioning phase and our mat drills and just seeing the athleticism and movement skills that were on our team and, you know, putting all this together, right? Making sure that we had the right young men in the right positions to be successful. And then Trey obviously doing his part, right? Being right here from San Diego, one of our hometown heroes, and to see him pour into, you know, the work that he has done to come from the linebacker level and put his hand down and be at a level one spot and operate as an edge within our system. You know, again, he saw the production that that position could have and how it could benefit himself individually. And by doing that, obviously have a tremendous impact for the team. And he's done an unbelievable job. You know, the best thing I can say about him, he's really approached his work like a craftsman, right? Like, he understands there's so much detail to it. There's so much that needs to be understood and applied at the right time. And he's just poured into the work, and he's done it at a really high level. He's such a humble kid. You know, he's great to be around. And again, one that we can point to as the standard for a lot of the things that we are building within this program.
Coach, nothing better than seeing a kid buy in and really attack a position the way it seems Trey White has this season. Certainly from us, good luck tomorrow. We'll certainly be watching. Continued success for the rest of the season. And thank you for giving us some of your time today.
Guys, appreciate it. Go Aztecs.
Thanks, Coach.
Go Aztecs. Coach Sean Lewis, head coach of the San Diego State football team. And big game tomorrow, Washington State. Before we go on, let's check a little traffic.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danik.
Still a few problems here, guys. Crash in the center divide on southbound 805 just past Nobel. Now southbound side of the 163 before the 8. We're getting reports of a collision. No details as to whether that is blocking any lanes. Accident has cleared on eastbound 78 near Nordahl Road, but we get this crash on westbound 78 before Los Poses. Those vehicles are in the center divide. Also getting reports of an accident along the 76 at Paula Mission Road. Looks like you may find lanes blocked there. Motorcycle involved in that one. I'm Kelly Donner with Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
A few minutes left to go.
I have something.
Okay, good. That's great. What do you have, buddy?
Eric on the old Twitter machine said, at Matt Scraby, tell Chris Frank Thomas played in the 05 World Series.
Well, then I read the article I read. We had it wrong because I was sourcing an MLB article. But thank you.
Look how defensive he gets.
I'm just saying. I was wrong, but I'm just telling you where I got it from.
White Sox. Yes, they had Paul Konerko on that team.
Yeah. Are we sure Frank Thomas was there?
Yes, in 05? He won a World Series in 2005.
Scotty Pasednik.
Although he was injured mostly during the regular season and the World Series. So that doesn't really count.
No, it does.
He didn't play a game, though.
He can walk in here and flip you off with the ring on.
Chris and I saw him when we went to Cooperstown, and I don't want any part of that.
No, not too many people do.
He's a big boy.
He's a big boy.
We mentioned the guy, Jimmy Pearsall, who ran around the bases backwards. That is true. And I was looking up Jimmy Pearsall. He was actually a hell of a good player. And you guys are right. Frank Thomas did not play in any playoffs in 2005. So that's why he was in the article. But I just want to finish up on Jimmy Pearsall. He did run around the bases backwards, but literally backwards. He didn't run to third, to short, to second, to first.
He ran backwards.
He turned around and ran backwards.
That's what I thought, but I wasn't sure. All the way around the bases.
That would be really interesting to see.
It really happened. And it was... one of the last things he did, he was cut from the Mets 2 days later.
I wonder why.
But he was a Jimmy Pearsall had all kinds of bipolar disorders, and he was a very famous player for what he went through playing baseball back in that day when that stuff wasn't understood very well.
What year was that?
He did the run around the bases in the early 60s, but he played mostly in the 50s.
Zero understanding of mental health. At
right.
Point.
Yeah, yeah. So, and he was a two-time All-Star, so he was a good enough player for that.
All right. It's going to do it for this week. We'll be back at it again next week. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.